Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cloud Chat with Stefan and Matt. I'm one of your hosts, Stefan Stelter.
And I'm Matt Brown. Good seeing you today.
We're excited to have a special guest. Our behind-the-scenes guest is coming out from behind the scenes, out from behind the curtain, and joining us on a podcast. Welcome, Darcy Pittman. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Our director.
Yes.
But she also has another skill, which we want to talk about today. Right, Stefan?
100%.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. So let's get into this. So it's interesting. We were having a conversation the other day about the role social media plays in modern IT. And it was interesting as we were having that offline discussion, a couple of key items came up. One, does social media influence us? I figured at least I would like to kind of start there and get your opinions there because it's definitely a more modern thing. And kind of want to explore that because then I have a second question. I'm sure, Stefan, you have questions as well, but is that a starting point?
I do. And maybe, Darcy, do you want to tell everyone a little bit about what you do besides being behind the scenes? And
oh, yeah. we should introduce, we know her.
Yes, we know her really well. So.
We're just going right into it.
Hi, everyone. I'm Darcy Pittman. I'm the video lead for the NetApp on NetApp program. So I direct and edit the Cloud Chat podcast, as well as a lot of other video content for our program. And then I also do my own social media and YouTube.
And because you had the experience by doing your own thing is why we brought you aboard the program. Because, you know, in my older program, we did have some social media presence. We definitely wanted an expert. So very happy to have you as part of our extended group here today.
Yes, happy to be here.
Absolutely. And I'm old and curmudgeon-y, and I'm not really sure that social media or any of this stuff is a thing yet. I'm still ready to be convinced. I'm a skeptic. Get off my lawn.
which back to my original initial question was, I think it was very interesting because there's a lot of, especially in management, a lot of older IT people. And it was funny when this question of does social media influence IT decision-making, my initial action was no. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. Because I can't tell you how many times I've had our architects or our developers or some of the younger people join, send me a tweet and say, hey, I just saw this, or send me something that just appeared in their other media platforms. So I actually think it has quite a bit of influence. But so if you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think my first reaction to that question is that I wouldn't be here if it didn't matter, you know. Obviously it does have a place nowadays because social media is everywhere, it's everything, even in an IT shop. You know, that looks different for every single company, but basically to be a brand in this day and age, you have to have a social media presence, whatever that looks like for your brand. And I definitely think it depends on the brand, what that looks like, what platforms are the right space to be in. But there has to be some presence, I would say.
What ways would an IT shop or do IT shops use social media? Because I think it's not just a single way. I think there's many different avenues social media plays in a modern IT role.
Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, we're focused on YouTube and Twitter and LinkedIn. So, like I said, I think it can definitely vary, but I also don't necessarily see a lot of IT content on a platform like TikTok or Instagram. You know, there's different types of content on different platforms. So
I'm thinking about that, me and Stefan doing one of these things with TikTok.
Oh my gosh,
I don't know how that's going to go, something we have to go explore. Maybe we have to get some good dance moves going here.
Yeah, absolutely. Get you all dancing.
That would be like upgrading a drive or like removing a controller from the back of a system and you do it. Yes, exactly. There'd be some sort of dance.
It would be so
good. It would be so good. There'd be
spinning. We'll do a TikTok. Well, do they people still remove drives? I don't even know that's a thing. Yeah, a TikTok challenge with some technology involved. Yeah,
that would be funny.
I love it. Yeah, and I think about the classical marketing background in which I've been educated, according to the things on the wall over there. But in technology marketing, you talk about Porter and you talk about the four P's and segmentation, targeting, positioning, and then figuring out how you want your product to be presented, and you have to meet your customers where they are. And that becomes the challenge. And so, you know, there's a tremendous conflict between the other diploma on the wall, which is the engineering degree, where, you know, everything has a mathematical equation and you can tie one thing to the next. And marketing is a lot less deterministic, where, you know, how do you gauge influence? How do you determine what caused a customer to make a buying decision in one direction or the other? What influenced their minds? So it is an interesting space, and one that I don't know how IT practitioners are using it. And maybe if we broke it up into stages of the way that they're looking at things in the IT space, is there this collection of potential options, understanding new technologies, what things might be of interest to me? How do I find out what's new and exciting? And social media might be a channel for that.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about traditional marketing, like, you have the marketing funnel, right? I would say it can fit in different places, but probably is earlier on in that funnel, but then hopefully is a way into getting, you know, ultimately people through the funnel down the line.
Well, it's interesting because one of the challenges that I see, again, being relatively new to it, is that a lot of my peers and people who are older than me just see it as fluff, but they themselves are influenced by the more, what do you want to call it, industry-wide tweets. I mean, Elon Musk buying Twitter, for example. I mean, that came across as a tweet, right? I mean, so it is a place where you hear things first, and if you're not paying attention to it, I would argue you're out of touch.
I think it's too late to not pay attention to social media. And I never really understand that argument nowadays, because so much of kind of buying consumer habits does happen on social media. I mean, there's reasons that a lot of brands are investing so much in influencer marketing, because it's a way to have that one-on-one with the consumer, like sharing their knowledge of a product from an influencer's mouth to, you know, that consumer directly from a person that they trust, which is unlike anything else that we've ever seen. And I mean, I see myself buying things I hear about from influencers that I might not otherwise. And that's much more powerful to me than an advertisement on just like a display ad on a website.
It feels like there's a missing element in the targeting area, though. One would hope that with all of this AI and all of the data and all of the research, I wouldn't get ads for some of the things that just simply do not apply to my personal situation, right? And I think there's some of that in the business context as well, where we're just companies, organizations are spending on ad space that doesn't reach a target consumer. It's a very much a shotgun approach, which makes me cry a little, breaks my heart. Why can't we be more targeted? That was the promise of all of this great stuff, right? As IT practitioners, half of what we're doing is supporting the infrastructure around the data that helps us understand our customers better. And hopefully that data is being used to target appropriately.
Well, that's interesting too, because not only are we talking about different ways of using social media, we're talking about different perspectives. So as a consumer, for example, there's frustrations, so I'm not getting the right things and stuff, but I am, when I'm, as a consumer, I am looking for different value, propositions, from it, right? I want to be able to have quick access to something. If I see something I like, I want to be able to click and then ideally order, right? Or get more information. But then as from an IT perspective, which is kind of the context, is one of the things I get frustrated in is we will go and invest time to do something, and it's hard to get a metric that tells you did good, right? There's a lot of different data points you can get out there, and you're like going, so it looks like we did good, but it's kind of hard as that IT guy. I kind of wanted that definitive, that, or be able to share that definitive that said we did X and Y occurred, and it's not that necessarily that straightforward.
Qual ops, you gotta find the right metrics.
Yeah, you gotta choose that right metric, because I mean, now there's so many metrics. What to choose from? What are you gonna pick? And what is that telling you?
You know. Well, so let's explore that just for a moment. So Darcy, you run your own personal YouTube channel. What are the metrics you look at in terms of monitoring your own success? Because that's definitely an interest for you, and you definitely want, and I assume would like to have positive feedback. So what are the things you look for from that platform?
That's a good question. I mean, I think you have two sides of it. You have the quality and then you have the quantity element. You know, on YouTube, so much of it is quantity, how many views you get. which obviously matters, but then also quality of, you know, is the video good enough that people want to stick around? So how long is your watch time? How long is your average viewer duration? If someone's only sticking around for 30 seconds, then it's not very good quality. Whereas if someone's sticking around for 5 minutes or more, obviously it is. And so I think it's a balance of all those things. And then also qualitatively, like comments and that kind of thing, or messages of, you know, people who have been helped by my content. And I think that kind of reinforces it as well. So it's easy to just focus on like the hard numbers, but I think you have to take into consideration each piece.
Well, that's actually very, I think that's very valuable. And I would imagine, do you do anything else on other platforms outside of YouTube?
Yeah, I use Instagram a decent amount, not a ton, but that can be like another good platform that people like cross-reference almost, where they'll like promote their YouTube video on Instagram. And it's a way to keep up with people more daily, since YouTube isn't as daily, but Instagram is, particularly Instagram stories nowadays.
Now, is it fair to say that these different platforms have different implied engagement structures? So for example, and this is just me, it feels like Instagram is more engaging than say YouTube, which is kind of more presenting, which is different than LinkedIn, which is just kind of like an information share. Is that a fair view of kind of that spectrum?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's different like types of things that you get out of each platform, and also the way the platforms are structured impacts things. So for example, TikTok is very different from YouTube in that TikTok, you don't necessarily have to click on a video if you're on the For You page, where you just get targeted videos. So to me, a view is very different on YouTube versus TikTok. Because on YouTube, I mean, someone actively clicked on something and was interested in your content versus like being served it. So, and then you do get different like measurements to a certain extent across platforms, but usually, you know, you have likes, views, and comments, you know, fundamentally. But I also think just even within those, a like on Twitter is very different from a like on Instagram. People just have different habits, where on Twitter, people don't like things that much for whatever reason. It's just not the culture of Twitter. But on Instagram, you just like everything almost. So 100 likes on Twitter is really good, but 100 likes on Instagram is kind of like, okay, that's pretty normal. So definitely is platform specific.
I have a strange physiological challenge with some of these things. You know, we went into Facebook, where things were perhaps, we started maybe MySpace, if we go really far back. But you
said that long ago. Don't make me feel that old.
I know, right? But longer form content, and then Twitter redefined things into maybe becoming more text messagey in a manner of speaking, with some character limits, and then TikTok and the video format of YouTube almost, right? Shortening a YouTube into something like a TikTok video. And then, you know, we see Instagram kind of coming the other way and saying, well, it was a static image for a while, and now we have more dynamic capabilities with Instagram even, right? Where there's a video component there. And then I wonder if everybody's merging to this new short form video and what is it? YouTube Shorts or YouTube? YouTube Shorts is sort of that approach, and Instagram.
Well, I think you're also seeing everyone competing with each other, and TikTok was this big disruptor that came out of nowhere. And so I think that's where everyone's trying to play catch up, but you can't necessarily recreate TikTok. I don't know. I think YouTube should stick to what it's doing well. And same with TikTok, it goes both ways, where I think YouTube is trying to catch up and say, oh, we do short form video, vertical content. But then at the same time, TikTok has now, at first you could only do, I think it was 30 seconds on TikTok, 30-second videos.
So they're doing longer versions, right?
Now they're doing 3 minutes. And then I guess they've also added 10 minutes, but I have not seen a 10-minute video. And I'm not sure people would stick around for 10 minutes on TikTok because of behavior.
That's not what it's for.
The platform implications, right? I would imagine, and I don't use TikTok, but I would imagine TikTok would be these short little things like Twitter, right? I don't expect to get Tolstoy's War and Peace on Twitter, right? I expect
that would be a lot of posts. Someone's doing the math right now on exactly how many tweets it would be to get War and Peace out there.
But I would argue, if I wanted to watch the movie War and Peace, I'd probably go see if it was available on YouTube. You know what I mean? It's how I'm, at least how I'm looking at all these different things. And I think that expectation kind of plays into how the audience then is expected or should be expected than to behave. So
yeah, you see that with the LinkedIn being more specific to career related, business related conversation than something like Facebook, which tends to be much more reliving high school or something.
Well, but it's, but on that,
the great keep in touch mechanism is 100%.
That's interesting too, because I see LinkedIn self-regulating when people post, here's my puppy and he's its third birthday. Somebody's like, there's always somebody who says, that's for Facebook, pal.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I kind of agree, and it's not really for LinkedIn.
You see it though, right? You do see it.
Yeah. So. For sure. For sure.
So Darcy, in your view of the world, where should, because IT is our thing here, where should IT be investing? And can you give us maybe some quick examples of the different platforms and maybe some ideas about thinking about how we actually can use these platforms to make IT a more modern organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're doing with our program is on the right path of, I mean, YouTube is super important. To have that video content, you know, we're seeing good engagement with videos that are short explainers. You know, Twitter is a space where I think conversations about tech happen. So it's going to be there. And then, you know, LinkedIn, again, having those thought leadership conversations, you know, we want to be there versus, I would say, like, Instagram and TikTok, I don't feel like match necessarily IT. There's not those tech conversations happening on those as much.
Yeah.
It's more
like, again, you haven't seen Stefan dance, so.
Yes. But you also
no one wants to see that. No one wants to see that.
Yeah, the demographic though, like TikTok is very young. So you also have to think about like the audience that's on TikTok. So
I think a little bit about using these tools as ways to break traditional paradigms for education. And we think mm-hmm. about how a lot of times we would educate customers on how to use our product by having them log into a customer portal and accessing formal training content, you know, the user manual effectively in video format or whatever behind a very specific tool set. And now being able to put it out in the YouTube world and makes it more accessible to more customers. I wonder if we'll find even more uses where, you know, IT is trying to train the user population on a new capability that we're delivering to our internal users and using short form video in a way that they can consume it on the phone. I don't know, maybe they'll have a private corner of TikTok where, you know, there are videos that can only be, maybe this already exists, I don't know. But it, yeah, where you could say, hey, employees can access this group of TikToks and it's just
a set of how-to videos or what have you. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
How to dance your way through your email. Yeah.
Yes. So Darcy, I'd like to get your opinion on another thing. So I don't know about all of you, but I'll pick a platform. Twitter, I must get hundreds of things coming through. Even I try to keep my feeds narrow. How do you create content to manage in that world to get the person you're trying to get to click?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're facing a new challenge that is unprecedented in terms of history of, we now have so much content. You know, think about 25, 30 years ago, we had the newspaper, we had magazines, somewhat the internet, and that was it. Now we have more content than anyone can consume in a lifetime. It's a new, unique challenge that we're facing. You know, you can spend hours and hours on one social media platform and never see all the posts. How do you deal with so many? And then, you know, when you have so many choices, how do you get someone who's on these platforms to pay attention to your content? So I think we're seeing a shift towards kind of more niche content that matches specific consumers and users, as opposed to, you know, there are those folks who made it really big and have wide audiences across demographics, but I think it's a lot harder to break into that space nowadays because of how much content is out there. And I think it also has made it that you have to have really high quality content or people aren't going to pay attention because there's someone else doing this 10 times better. So, you know, having to think about all of those aspects to make it worth their while when they have so many options and there's just so much content out there.
So if I'm gonna put you on the spot here. So sorry.
That's okay. What we're doing this whole time, right?
So let's pick on your personal channel and then the work you do for the NetApp program. what is one or two things that you do to help people make that click?
Yeah, I mean, SEO is super important now. That stands for search engine optimization. You know, you think about YouTube is owned by Google, right? And it's also one of the biggest search engines in and of itself, YouTube is. So people are constantly searching for content. Like, think about when you don't know how to do something, you go search it online, and especially lots of people want a video of, you know, how to fix something in their home, go look that up on YouTube, right? So that kind of search engine optimization is super important. And it also helps with the algorithm when you see those like recommended videos, that kind of thing. So kind of with that, tags and keywords in your videos on the back end, super important, because that tells the algorithm like what to show people. And so for me, a lot of my, what I would call like niche content is related to my experience going to New York University, which has this like interesting niche on YouTube of people really interested in that content. Did not expect that. It just like kind of tapped into it. And all of my popular videos are related to that. And so that's where I think you get that niche element and you get that search element of people are searching for this type of content. And then how that's kind of been applied for our NetApp on NetApp program is thinking about, you know, how can we serve our audience of people who need to learn about our products or general IT topics and trying to make those videos to meet them and their needs and make it so that they can organically find it.
Excellent. This has been an amazing conversation. I've learned a bunch. I'm a little bit afraid of the algorithm, I must say. It sounds like it's going to control our lives at some point. Wherever the algorithm lives, I hope it's being well cared for and fed so it doesn't get angry with us. thank you, Darcy, for joining us today on the podcast. This has been Cloud Chat with Stefan and Matt. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this content, please like, subscribe. We'd love to see your feedback in the comments. And that might be a follow-up conversation with Darcy. How important are comments? And yeah. What do you do? Do you investigate comments?
Comments are important. All the engagement is important.
Comments matter. You matter. Your perception matters. Let's hear from you. Share in the comments. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you on the next one.